This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Vera Payne here, live from the NVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. I love a good conspiracy theory, and one of the things I keep hearing about is shadow government. So what is a shadow government, and do they even exist? Author and investigative reporter Chris Milligan is going to join me to explain the origins of shadow governments. Thanks for joining me, Chris.
Glad to be here. Thank you very much for inviting.
Could you tell me a little bit about shadow governments? Is this kind of like the idea of Illuminati?
My own background, my father was in intelligence, and he was high up in the CIA. He quit them in the late 50s, started talking to me in the late 60s. He talked to me about secret societies, is what he talked to me about. I see the secret societies as being the main mover in the shadow governments.
What's the point of it? I mean, if we already have a government, what's the point of a shadow government? What could they be doing that's, are they doing black ops type of things?
Yeah, they're basically doing psychological warfare to divide us, to get us into different camps, and I don't like the people over there, and they don't like me, and stuff like that. Basically gaming us. I mean, at its core, what is America? America is governance by the people, for the people, of the people. In other words, it's governance from the bottom up. And the secret societies keep wanting to have government from the top down.
Who would be the type of people in a shadow government? It wouldn't be like the President of the United States, would it?
Yes. You had George H.W. Bush. He's a member of the Order of Skull and Bones. His father was a member of the Order of Skull and Bones. His brother is a member of the Order of Skull and Bones. His son, George W., is a member of the Order of Skull and Bones.
How can you recognize if it's a government ploy or a shadow government ploy?
They killed John F. Kennedy and took over the government big time at that time, and have continued on their quest to have total control over the government, and a lot of it is through psychological warfare. Again, like, I mean, when I grew up, you could only, a corporation or a person could only own, you know, so many television stations. You could only own one in one market. Now you have, a very much of a delivery system of propaganda. Here's how the secret societies control the world. It's a leviathan of three levels, and each level has three parts. The top level is mining, metal, and money. And if you think about it, it kind of makes sense. If you control the mining, where the metal comes from, that our money's supposed to be based on, you'd be in pretty good situation, right? And then you have a very active level. They use war a lot. And this is drugs, guns, and oil. And you see, Skull and Bones was started by two people, William Huntington Russell and Alfonso Taft. William Huntington Russell's family business, Russell and Company, was opium. They were the largest opium smuggler in America and the third largest in the world. And then it was a gentleman from Skull and Bones in 1855 who created gasoline for the very first time. He got some petroleum rock oil from Cornell University, and he made gasoline, paraffin, and he wrote a letter to the Pennsylvania Rock Oil Company of New York, who he did the test for. And he says, gee, gentlemen, you have some very valuable products here with very inexpensive processes. And then they proceeded to monopolize everything around oil. The only reason we go to the oil store is because these folks own it. There are many other ways to create energy. And then where this leviathan meets the road, it's media is the have to control that, and then movies/music, and they have to control that very heavily, or the culture, because our culture will bite them. And then at the last thing is quote-unquote magic, their ability to hoodwink us, to make us think something else is going on, and their preponderance on using mass trauma rituals to scare the heck out of us and keep us in line, such as the Kennedy assassination, such as 9/11.
Mass trauma rituals? What is, like, they use bad stuff, and then it gets, like, how does that work? I'm trying to wrap my head around this phrase.
The Kennedy assassination, okay? I mean, these people were powerful. They could have killed Kennedy any time they wanted, but they killed him in a very public, manner, okay, on Bloody Elm Street in Dealey Plaza. If you look at Dealey Plaza, it's in the shape of a trident. It's a ritual kill zone. It's right next to the Trinity River, right below the 33rd degree. And if you do that on a date, 11/22, which adds up to 33 also, and 11 and 22, if you read classical numerology, they're the highest numbers. There's no numbers higher, and there are no numbers in between them. And one of their main meanings is mastery and supermastery. So if you kill the king and take his power, and everybody knows that you did it and you got away with it, and you're sitting there at happy hour clinking your glasses, and you do it on a day that is significant, such as 11/22, you're telling the people silently that, well, we're the masters. Well, you know, if they're the masters, then what does that make all of us? The slaves, right?
Right.
And you can read in a gentleman by the name of, he was a professor in Berlin, Hegel, which gives us the thesis, antithesis, synthesis. And he talks a lot in there about this bondage relationship to create. And it's part of the psychological warfare to control the population and to divide the population so that, you know, when they get people all upset and it's your turn to talk and then get some other people and it's their turn, because as long as they get us fighting each other, they continue to laugh all the way to the bank.
Now, when we talk about a shadow government, I always say a shadow government, as if there's only one. Is there more than one, and do they work together?
There does appear to be, quote-unquote, maybe some good guys and maybe some bad guys. The thing is that they've been working very, very hard for many years. The biggest problem is that people are a little bit more stiff-necked, and then part of their psychological warfare, the boomer generation was supposed to not come together as a generation. We were supposed to be this pieced-out, drugged-out generation. These forces out of the shadows had done it before. In the 1860s, there was a group that didn't cohere. It was because of assassination, a war, and opium. And they tried to do it again for the 1960 generation. These are what you might call fail-safe devices that we have as a society, as a culture, as all of us together. We did cohere. The boomers cohered as hippies around a joint being smoked around a circle. And what came out of the hippies? The personal computer and the internet. And those are the tools that we as a society are using to fight the corruption that these secret societies bring to us using secrecy.
When it comes to these shadow governments and these organizations, how do they recruit people? I mean, like, should we be looking at, like, the top people coming out of Harvard? Like, are those the people who are going to be recruited into these shadow governments?
Secret society we know the most about here in the United States, high up, is Skull and Bone. And how do they recruit people? Well, a secret society, whether it's here in China and Africa, they're all the same. They're kind of like a ball of wax or a pyramid. You have a lot of people on the outside, a lot of people on the bottom. In Masonic circles, they call them porch brethren. And then you have an administrative cadre, because at any time in any organization, there's people that go in and turn the lights on and turn the lights off. And then you have a core group, and the core group is always all related. They're all cousins. Skull and Bones is based around the Cabot family, with a big subset of the Whitney family. And one thing they do and they don't just want, excuse my language, all the evil bastards in there. They want people that are going to give them opportunities later. And so one thing they do, you have, like I say, you have the core group, the legacy people who are related, and then they look out and they say, okay, well, oh, there's a smart person over there, and there's a athletic person. We'll have them join our club. And then they have a party, and they say, hey, why don't you marry my sister? It's like John Kerry is a member of the Order of Skull and Bones, and when you look at his wives, they've all come from from friends in Skull and Bones. So what they do is they watch people. They watch people, and they find out, okay, now this person, if I press this button here, that's what that person's going to do. Well, I need somebody that's going to do that. So they watch people, because you get tapped at Yale on your third when you're a junior. So they've been able to watch you for 3 years to see, know what button to push on you.
Now, I remember reading, and maybe you remember it too, in South Korea, their president, the woman, and it turns out that she was being, I guess, manipulated. She was just like in bed with all these other powerful businesswomen, and these people were just controlling the government and changing laws for their own, you know, I guess for their own right and to control their own companies, and everything was copacetic for them, but not for the people. But when things like that come out, when you hear about like, oh my God, you know, it was businesses and the government were doing some really heinous things together. When you hear stuff like that on the radio or you read it in an article, at any point, should you say, hey, they must have pissed off some shadow government for them to snitch like that?
There still is some semblance of a free press. You know, you'd really have to look at it hard. I mean, one thing I do is I do a lot of research, read a lot of books, and look at things. But without knowing the background of a situation, really hard to say.
The reason I bring this up is because you talked about the three tiers. And sometimes, you know, the third tier, you said it was media, movies, /music. Sometimes that doesn't go so well with the second tier, which is about drugs, guns, and oils, you know, the different
right.
agendas. So would the tiers kind of fight each other on things?
Well, it's more that the top tier, they own very wholly, and they don't even, like, talk about it. I mean, I had one author who could affect that tier, and I got him his book, and he was dead in 7 days. He got run over by a hit-and-run lorry in London because he was a mining engineer, and he could affect that level, okay? And it's my greatest hope. It, basically, from the top down, they have less control. They have less control.
Mm.
And it's my hope that we can start to turn the bottom level.
What do you mean?
And get our country back. I mean, I want a better world for my children. The world we're living in right now is destructive, toxic. America is a great country and can be a great country, but we have been hijacked by these secret societies that are using America for its own. They're basically using our blood and wallet to get the world into shape. The end game of these secret societies is to, quote-unquote, rule the world through China. Basically, China stands up and says, ah, we're China. 5,000 years of civilization, Confucius, peace, peace, peace. Cur American war dog, as they push us aside, and then they say, oh, and by the way, send us all the remittances, because we have all the factories. Nixon opened up China. Who did he send to Canton? George H.W. Bush, a member of the Order of Skull and Bones. And at the same time he was in Canton, his brother Prescott, also a member of the Order of Skull and Bones, was in Shanghai handing out the money to build all those factories.
So what can we do as people to be more aware of these situations?
Educate yourself. They're trying to divide us all. And so just be careful on what you read. Don't be afraid to read something, but be careful on what you believe and be careful on what you act on. And because once you start calling a bunch of people names, then they're going to call you names and all kinds of stuff. So we need to, you know, understand our civics. We need to get out and vote. And we need to understand, you know, what our country means. Right now, you know, we don't have honest money in this country. And very seldom we have honest elections. And they're able to do that because a lot of people don't vote, okay? And if we get enough people to vote, then they can't steal the election. The thing to do is to, you know, stand up and be a citizen, learn about what's going on locally, try and get involved in local politics if you can, and then when the time comes, vote.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you being here. For those listening, where can they find more information about you?
TrineDay.com, www.trineday, TrineDay.com.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's MASONVERAPAINE.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.